Father, without you, we can do nothing. But with you, all things are possible. And tonight we really need help, Lord, because this message is not what I expected, but we're going to follow what you've got in your mind and not mine. I want to take you back to Christmas morning. And on Christmas morning, I had a very strong press to sing a song at the altar. And I really didn't want to do it. So I'm not going to tell you that I did, because I know what that can produce, and I also know that tongues know how to wag. And I'm not accusing anybody, I'm just telling you that's what happens. The song that the Lord told me to release from my spirit was Zechariah's song. It's taken from Luke chapter 1. And I sang the whole thing from verse 67 to the end. I don't know the fullness of what that did on the interior, except I was very aware of verse 76, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercies of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine." I changed one word. It's on those living in darkness, but I really believe to shine in those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the path of peace. Today, I was pressed to go to Matthew 17. So I'd like you to take a skip over to Matthew 17. In Matthew 17, you've got Jesus stating the fact in verse 1, after 6 days, which is 6,000 years, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured. And obviously, you can know the whole story. But verse 4 says, Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell face forward, or face down, to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, and, "Get up," he said, "do not be afraid." When they took up, they saw no one except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The disciples asked him, "Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Verse 11 says, Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hand." Then the disciple understood that he was talking about John the Baptist. Many times that entire scripture is speaking of John the Baptist and the spirit of Elijah for then. I'd like you to awaken to the fact that the spirit of Elijah is coming again, and it's already in us, because it is really the spirit of Christ. And the power of the anointed one to bring back healing into the body of Christ. This afternoon, when I came into the office, I was pressed. I told you earlier that I had to pick up the book called The Harvest, which I've read many years ago. And there was a little bookmark, and the Holy Spirit says, check it out. So come with me on a short journey. This is the book of The Harvest, page 78. And Rick Joyner speaking. There will continue to be ministries raised up, some of whom will actually help to ignite great moves of God, but will also fall to the tendency to believe that the right form for the church can hold and sustain and release the Spirit. This fallacy will continue to bring up many movements to a disappointing stop. One of the same deceptions motivated the men of Shinar. They believed that their new formula or project could keep men from being scattered. Only in him do all things hold together. Colossians 1:17. Some who will be mightily used of God in the next movement will crash on the same rocks as did their previous movements. If this is not understood, even so, out of this next move, there will come those who have a vision for that which is truly apostolic. These will have been delivered from the Babylonian spirit, not just the Babylonian form. They will be used to give birth to that which is of the true faith of the fathers, the coming of Jesus within. And the forming of Jesus within. There you are. Are you hearing, madam, in the back? It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's not Christ trying to get in. He's already in. Every restoration move until now has ultimately been reduced to the emphasizing of mere doctrines and forms. The true apostolic faith will emphasize life himself. Who is life? The tree of life is Christ. Until now, we have been content to have the Lord revealed to us. But a day is coming when he will be revealed in us. We only need new wineskins. Say, I got it. My goodness, where are the rest of you guys? Just the two of us got the new wineskin? Come on. Everybody say, we have the new wineskin.
We have the new wineskin.
It's ours in Christ.
It's ours in Christ.
And it's a deposit.
And it's a deposit.
And he's going to fill us with new wine.
And he's going to fill us with new wine.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's already begun.
It's already begun.
Hallelujah. We only need new wineskin. If we have new wine, it is a delusion for us to think that merely having a new wineskin can produce new wine. In the book of Revelation, Babylon is visible from the valley, but we must be taken to a high mountain to see the new Jerusalem. Deliverance from the Babylonian spirit does not come just by understanding it. History testifies that many who clearly see and understand this beast are consumed by the Spirit because they do not have a vision of the New Jerusalem. Many of those who preach vehemently against Babylon do so out of the same sectarian spirit. Their preaching inevitably results in a perpetuation of the same Babylonian confusion, more sect than who think they alone are right. When the first two disciples began to follow Jesus, he challenged them with a question that sooner or later we must all answer. What do you seek? Their reply was another question, but it was not an appropriate one. Lord, where do you dwell? They did not ask which sect was the most spiritual or scriptural or doctrinally correct. But where is that place that the Lord himself can abide? This is the only way we can discern the works which are ordained by him from those who are not. And it continues. Now, earlier this morning, the Lord and I were having a conference. And in that conference, I was letting him know that I can see the beast, the soul nature. So I was quoting from Pastor Prince. I am blessed, highly favored, loved by my Abba. I am the one that Jesus loved. Do you recognize the beast in you that rages and wants to rule and reign? I said, yes, Lord. The power of the soul, this selfish beast, is spoiled rotten. Rotten is my addition tonight. And will not submit without a fight. I see self, and how quickly my spirit gives in and not confront this beast. How many know that you're submitting constantly to this thing? Okay. Just want you to be aware. I just want you to know you're not alone. Okay? But Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to empower my spirit, to recreate me and to put perfect order back in me. Now I'm confessing it to you because I want you to wake up and to really realize that you're going to have to confront a lot of garbage that has been getting away with any kind of submission that you submit to. Whatever it is. It's not important which way it's operating in you. It's just a reality that it's doing its dirty work. And it's getting away with it. And you're the only one that can say, whoa. And pull the reins in. And say, I'm not submitting to this thing. Because I know what it does. It destroys, it divides, it brings confusion. And I know that my spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, can rule the lawless beast, my soul. And control my body as a submissive servant to do God's will, not my own. So I'm confessing to you what I was sharing this morning with Jesus. And I'm letting you know that he took the harvest book to take me a little deeper. He also took Pastor Prince's message about, hey, they were coming down the mountain. They were all excited. But they didn't have a clue of what they really were being witnessing to. In fact, when Jesus ended up dying, they forgot that he told them, I will rise again. And you know what happens with us is the Lord says, I want to deliver you. But we bow to all kinds of other things. And that beast gets away with what? That beast gets away with murder. It's murdering the Spirit of Christ in us. And it is overruling the spirit man. And there has to be a switch. And the new wineskin is the need that we have. That new wineskin can be filled with anything you want. You want to fill it to all the things that satisfy your flesh? Or do you want to fill it with that which will be empowering your spirit to overrule the flesh? It's up to us.
I'll take the second one.
But you understand. And it's not going to be done by a decision of you forcing the issues on your own. It's going to be done by grace and grace alone. But every time you see it, cry out for more grace. You know that you cannot do this. It is not something that's done by flesh. It's not going to be done by flesh. It's going to be done by Him, by His Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So it's not a works program. It's not a scrubbing activity. It is a decision, however, that if you make a mistake, to run back and get a new mindset. Get a new mindset. Change the way that you're thinking about the circumstances around you and the things that are falling apart, whatever that might be. The way I believe that the Lord wants us to change is in verse 17 of Matthew 17. O unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Because the disciples hadn't been able to free the young man. Bring the boy here to me. But those other words were pretty strong. Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation. How much unbelief is still in you and me? When the panic hits, how much unbelief is still in me? When the body misbehaves, how much unbelief is there in me? Do you see it as unbelief? Or do you see it as, oh my God, I'm going to drive, you know, fall over, whatever. Whatever the challenge is, it may take a few moments to pull back and say, wait a minute, what road am I traveling? Am I traveling on the road of faith or am I traveling on the road of fear? We confronted fear the other day. We bound that strong man. We told him he is on what? He's on notice to be gone and get out of our hearts. Okay? How many decisions are made in the anointing of fear? How many words are spoken out of your mouth under the anointing of fear? And I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just as guilty as any one of you. I still have corners that I see and I say, oh my God, the mind of Christ ain't on that one. This was the old nature. And I'm asking for more revelation so I can be aware. I want to see, Lord. I only see myself a little bit. Please give me the grace to see more. And then give me the grace to change it. Because without change, you're going to go what? You're going to go right back to the old. And you know where it's going to be the most effective? In your own house. With those around you. That's where it's going to be the most effective. And if you're smart, you'll confess your mistake openly. Confess your sins to each other that you may be healed. It's a sin against what? Against the Spirit of God. The sin against the Spirit of God says, oh well, they don't need to know that they've offended me. Yeah. They might need to know. They might be able to be changed. But don't go when you think it's right. Go when the Holy Ghost tells you it's time to speak.
Amen.
If you go when you think it's right, you're going to be using the knowledge of good. That's that ugly tree again. And the knowledge of good is a lot more difficult to discern than the knowledge of evil. And if you've never read the book by Rick Joyner, Two Trees in the Garden, I'd say get a copy. And read it. Get a clue about how much deception is still in you. And in me. I'm not accusing. I don't want anybody to be feeling, oh my God, he's talking about me. Yes, I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about you. Because you individually are not where I am. And you're not supposed to be. You're supposed to be right where you are. So don't put a guilt trip on yourself. Oh, if I was like so-and-so. Yeah, baloney with that. You're not supposed to be where I am. Unless you want to change birthdays.
Thank you.
Will you stick with the one you got? I think yours is better than mine. Your birth date. You don't want to switch with it. And I am teasing you. But you know, I believe that the Lord is trying to get us to an awareness of ourselves and that which steals from us more than we realize that it has ever done. And that's what he's trying to get us to awaken to. He wants to expose those lies and those deceptions and the unbelief. So would you close your Bibles, please? And I'm going to ask you to stand. I want you to come to the front. We're going to agree together.
Because
it'll be foreign language.
Foreign thoughts.
Not the old selfish thoughts. And we'll actually receive the fullness of the Spirit of God. To fill our hearts. You said you'd create a new heart in us. We're saying, don't stop, Lord. Wash away. All the old unbelief. The old fear tactics. That have tried so hard. To pull us back down. We're not going back down. We're going higher. And more of Christ Jesus. By His Spirit. Is forming us. To be sons of the Most High. Whatever gender we are. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. You always answer our prayer. And we thank you for the grace. To love each other. On this journey. For your glory. Thank you for 2012. Recreate us in your image. And don't stop. We're in our right mind right now.
We're in our right mind right now.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen.